So, you are scared of the devil and worried about the end times. And our purpose is to begin to show, particularly in this part of the classes or the things we're having together, is to show some things that really should make question marks come. That's the best way I know how to put it. Make some question marks come up in our mind about how scary the devil really is. And so we were looking at, we were in Revelation 13. And we were last class, I think I read this. Let's see. Yeah, let me just, I usually like to go back and just read a little bit of what I had shared last class so it catches us up. And in this part, I had just kind of introduced some of the greater powers that the beast and the false prophet have. And they get that from the devil. And so let me just read a little paragraph coming up to that. Well, let me just read the scripture. This is Revelation 13, verses 15 through 18. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So I wrote, here is one of the greater powers the devil, through the false prophet, seems to have. He could give life to the image of the beast so it could do three things. First, the image could speak. Second, caused that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And third, it caused all to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark of the beast or the number of his name. And then I close with this statement last time. This all seems extremely powerful. What the false prophet can do, except that the verses just before this may be important, and that's what I left y'all with. So let's go to Revelation 13, starting with verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. Okay, well, that ought to be a dead giveaway. I'm just telling you, you know, it ought to be, but maybe not, because some people think, you know, that the lion, that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and what that means is that he's got a real loud mouth and he's a real roar and he's all got all this kind of stuff. And but John turned to see a lamb instead of a lion. It was just a title for him. It wasn't his nature and it wasn't who he is. Verse 12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Okay? And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So I wrote, this particular part is in verses 13 and 14. And this is where we should be catching on to some things. And he doeth great wonders. So he maketh fire come down from heaven. Okay. So I wrote the first great wonder, these great wonders that he can do. The first great wonder was that he could call down fire from heaven. Scary, except two things. One thing is, we have no record of it hurting anybody or anybody being burned up. There is no record of it. It's just like, you know, I think, let me see. We have no record of him burning up anybody, but this was more like he's just showing off. Because it is. If you're not burning up anybody, then it's like, okay. Let's just use another example. In Revelation 20, you have this big war going on with the devil, and this is one of the wrap-ups here, or is the wrap-up on the fighting like that. And they're going to clash, and so there's a big army of the enemy, and then there's the Lord and his people. And so when the battle starts to go, fire falls from heaven and destroys all of the armies. That's God on God's side, destroys the enemies of the Lord. His fire does do something. Just so you know, if you're afraid of the devil, who can do the trick, but he can't really enforce it, then maybe you should choose, if you're going to be a little bit afraid, you know, maybe it should be God. I mean, just telling you. But we never think of that because we're all always like, oh my God, he can bring fire from heaven. But the next big thing also pertains to that, or the next thing that caught my eyes. Let's see. And so this, along with what he could do with the image of the beast, seem impressive, don't they? Anybody that ever read that? They seem impressive until you notice what the scriptures say right after that. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do. Did you hear what that says? All right, well, I'll read you my reaction when I read it. When, are you kidding me? This is what I wrote down. If they were genuine miracles, then there would be no need for deception. Deception is used when you want to make someone believe something about you that's not true. Is that true or not? Or am I deceiving you? So what is the conclusion of that? It is not true power as God has. Okay. So I'm going to just read that scripture again here. He doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven that never does anything to any of us, so that we should never be afraid of it. And I noticed that it also, it says, he does this in the sight of men. That's why I said, he's just showing off. He has no power like what we think in that sense. Okay, but the comma comes, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do. He's deceiving. See, he's not like a guy standing up there with a big old machine gun or something and saying, I have power to mow all of you down right now. It's over with. It's just a display of fireworks. Ooh. Ah. You know. in the sight of men and deceiveth them. By what? By means of miracles that are supposed to be threatening, and they are not threatening. All right. So, and as I said, if they were real, why would it use the word deception with them? There's no need to deceive. You're going, this is what I got. You ought to be afraid. But what if so many of us have read the book of Revelation and read stuff like this and got afraid when there was no reason to be afraid? And we've been knocking stuff down left and right that, okay, there's a lot of deceiving. There's a lot of lack of real power, not like God. Again, they show a fireworks thing, you know, and God brings fire right down and wipes out a whole army that is without number. So you tell me, if they bump heads together, who's going to win? Whose side do you want to be on? You know? And in those armies, every army that's with Jesus basically does nothing. In other words, they're not fighting. They're not going, oh, no. They look like monsters. Look at them. They got big muscles and they got... Ugh. You watch too many movies. We don't even fight in this one. Just read the book. All right. So, verse 15 through 17, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their hand, on their foreheads, or on their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. All right. So, yes, if you believe all of the stuff that the book of Revelation is saying to you or trying to portray to you about how strong the devil is and about how smart he is and about how powerful he is, then you're probably going to, all this kind of stuff. But if you really understand the Lord and you understand, I mean, it's not just understanding that Jesus is Lord or that Jesus, even in death, would you'd be glorified beyond what you can imagine if you read my Revelation book or listen to the class. But if you don't understand that, then you're just running around afraid of everything that you see, thinking that this is so horrible or whatever. I mean, even with that, let's see. We just read it up here. Let's see if I can find it again. This is in Revelation 13. Let's see. I don't know if that was the one I was looking for. Well, so let me just say this. I remember when I was reading this, and they're talking about, okay, so here's the great red dragon, you know, and I'm going to give my power over here to the beast, and you're going to have my power working in you. And he goes, yeah, you know. And then the great red dragon goes, okay, false prophet. I'm sorry. What would you do if somebody visited our church and they came in and I said, well, introduce yourself, da 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 da. And they said, yeah, da da da. My ministry is I'm a false prophet. It's like, what? You know, you're named that all the way through the book of Revelation. You know, should we, you know, oh no, maybe it's really true or something. I'm sorry. I know I'm weird, but these things crack me up because I just think, couldn't you come up with something a little better? You know, I mean, the great red dragon's a really good deceitful thing, which we'll deal with. Oh, my God, is that just a huge deceitful thing to scare us? But it's not time to deal with that yet. All right, so my thing was that, okay, so here he goes. Great red dragon gives the beast all this power, and then he gives the false prophet all this power of deception, all this power. And then, you know, it's the unholy trinity, right? So the unholy trinity gets together, and they go, okay, let's plan this out. What are we going to do next? What's going to be our next big move? So the beast says, hey, I think I got it. Okay, what's that? Let's make a stone beast, you know, like me. Let's make a stone beast, and let's let, you know, like fire come out of his mouth, and let's make it speak, you know. Okay, so I'm reading that, and it's like if the great red dragon were here, and the beast were there, and the false prophet were there, and they're all talking about this, and I'm standing over there listening to it. I'm standing there listening to him. I probably, if I had been there, I probably would have said, what's the point of needing a big statue that talks and everything to scare him? And I probably would look at the beast and say, aren't you scary enough all by yourself to scare them? In a real way? Or do you need something, you know, man-made to be your big thing that scares everybody? I mean, I'm questioning how scary the beast is. You see that? Because why would you need to make this stupid thing that is not real, that is, you know, and since we already discovered that there's some deception involved with this, do you think making a statue speak or something could have something to do with a hidden, you know, microphone, and somebody going, I am the Wizard of Oz. I am the great. I mean, don't you think that could be the case? I mean, why go to that? It just does not make sense to me that these three scary, you know, things that are supposed to be so, they're going, let's just put all the attention over on this guy. There's something wrong with that. Can I get amen? There's just something wrong with that. It's like, that doesn't make sense. Maybe everyone doesn't take things in the way I do, but I probably, you know, I mean, I get in trouble, but I probably would have said something like that if I stand there with him. Wait a minute, guys, this ain't going to work. You know, can't you three just step up to the plate and go, all right, we're the thing to be feared. No, let's make a statue over here and let's fear that. Why would you tell us to fear that if you're so fearful? That's what I think. It's what I do think, actually. You know, it's like, okay, so the end times happens right now, and then all of a sudden we know there's a statue up out there, and then we get to introduce to the people that are making it, the three people and stuff like that. I would think the same thing, and I go, let's not fall for this, people. I would say that. Let's not fall for this. Why would they need if they're so strong, if they're so powerful, if they're so scary, they would want to just it with their own self scare us instead of using an inanimate object. Anyway, trust me, as I was going through all of this, I thought, everyone's going to think I'm crazy the way I see all this, but it just makes sense to me. It just makes sense to me. And it de-claws, de-tooths a lot of the book of Revelation and the fears that people have, to me, and of course. All right. Here's my little bit of notes on that. There's something fishy within these verses. Why would they need a stone image to scare everyone into receiving the mark? You'd think that the actual beast should be scary enough without a fake image. Oh, gosh. Oh, I know. Some of you, not just tonight, but are going, the devil is going to get you. You know, he's going to hear about this. And, you know, what's he going to do? Is he going to kill me? Come on, do me that favor, Satan. Do me that. I'll be with Jesus, you know. All you're going to do to me is send me straight to Jesus. Right? Is that right? Oh, I'm afraid of death. To me, that's like saying, no offense to anybody, but it's like saying, I'm afraid of going to be with Jesus forever. You know, I'm afraid of going to Jesus forever. You know, well, you know, we talked about this, but he came to do away with the fear of death. Here was the scripture that I was referring to where God used fire. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the city of the saints about. So this is the enemy and this is all the bad guys, you know, and they compassed the city about. And they're not even on white horses with Jesus in a battle here. This is the last one. The saints are not even on white horses or on horses dressed in white with Jesus. They're down there in the holy city, the beloved city, the beloved city, beloved of God, Jerusalem, which I have loved. They are there, and I know what they're doing there. They've learned we don't need to go with Jesus into the battle. The battle is the Lord's. The battle isn't even ours. And they know that. It's not a little song. You know, oh, battle belongs to the Lord. It is, I know that they're with the Lord in there. And so God just goes, okay. Grease spot. You know, the mountain that no man could number. And the fire came out from God out of heaven and devoured them. So I wrote, God used the real thing to defeat the fake. Because he can back it up. See, if anybody's deceived, it's the devil. I want you to know that. The devil's deceived. He thinks, what did he say? I will be like the Most High God. I will overthrow God. I will sit in his place. I will, you know, all this kind of stuff. You're a fallen angel. You're not even a fully pumped up God servant angel. You're a fallen angel. The only thing you got working for you is deception. And as long as, if we can throw back the veil of the deceptions that he's trying to throw at us, then we will not be afraid of him. And when we get to a certain juncture, we will go to scriptures that'll literally prove that, oh my God, what was wrong with us that we were so afraid of this? Okay? All right. Okay, well, we've gone for a little while, and I don't want to keep going. I think we can. I think this personally, the simplicity of what we shared here, and just looking at Scripture and what it really says, is worthy of going back and just looking at it for yourself. Does it say these things? Does it say that, you know, that he did make fire come out, but it didn't hurt anybody? Does it say that, you know, well, all the things that we just went over, does it really say those things? And if it does, then we have become afraid based on deception, and we need to be undeceived so that we can just, in freedom of spirit and life, just be with God. No matter what all that, even, because there's crazy stuff going on in the book of Revelation, but it doesn't change Jesus and it won't change us. But especially, well, not especially, but certainly if you add to that the lack of deception. And we're going to see this deception thing more and more and more. And the answer to that is a little light on the circumstances. All right, Father, we just love you. Father, we just want to see the word. We want to see the scriptures. We want to have your heart. We want to, of course, our first priority is that you might be revealed in us. But Father, you want us undeceived. You want us without fear. Jesus, you continually were appearing and saying, fear not. You don't want us to be in fear. And so, Father, I just pray that in the name of Jesus, your Holy Spirit could continue to move on all of us to see things in a right perspective so that we are no longer in fear. We love you, and we want to be with you, and we don't want to be separated on any level of deception by the enemy. We want light to shine and darkness to flee, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we did it. We'll do another one too. See you guys next time.